Cash generating habits, session eight. We are really, coming close to the home stretch now. So we're on session eight. We are looking at the days 63 to 72. And today we're going to be talking about excuses. Now, I'll tell you something. I don't like excuses. I don't like it when people give me excuses. I like giving excuses so that I can get out of doing things. But I don't like excuses from other people. And let me just tell you something. Your dreams don't like excuses, right? Your goals, your objectives, the things you want, they don't like excuses because they're not going to happen if you just keep putting excuses between you and your goals and your dreams. It's just not going to happen. So last session, we talked about going all in. And in order to do that, we need to overcome our excuses for not going all in. Okay. Now, the problem we face is it's tricky to identify an excuse. And let me tell you why. The reason is because we give an excuse a cute name, right? We call it reason. We don't call an excuse by its true name. We call it reason. We call it a reason, okay? I was gonna, do this, but oh, I was gonna, I was gonna go and work out today, but, I just didn't feel like it, Or, I was gonna start saving money every week, every month, but, oh, man, I saw this TV and it was a discount, and, they're just not gonna have that discount again, and so I didn't save the money. These are just excuses, okay? But we call them reasons. So, the thing is, when you call it a reason, the problem with that is different. Okay? It's different now in our minds. We don't think of it as an excuse. It has a totally different connotation in your mind. And that excuse, which we call a reason, keeps us from going all in. So let me just tell you, an excuse or a reason, whatever you want to call it, is nothing but a well-planned lie. Nothing but a well-planned lie. I think it was Danny Johnson that said that. I don't know if she got it from somebody else, but I heard it from her, so she's who gets the credit for this one. But an excuse is nothing but a well-planned lie. And the easiest person to deceive is yourself, right? That's the person who gets deceived badly by these excuses. Now, we'll give reasons for not making a full commitment to our success because the reason for it is we love comfort. Okay? And comfort is the enemy of achievement. And we make excuses because we want to stay comfortable. And making an excuse allows us to stay where we are. Everything we want is on the other side of fear. It's on the other side of getting over your excuse. And we have to develop a healthy fear of not doing the things we want to do. In other words, we need to be scared of not doing the things that we want to do. We should be more afraid of that than the thing that we know we have to do, which will get us where we want. And it's usually fear that gets in the way of our goals, our mission in life, and our prosperity. So now it's time that we look at the excuses or the reasons that you are likely going to use so that we can, to avoid making any of this happen. We're going to start to see what we can do to identify these excuses so that when we give them, then we realize, actually, I'm making an excuse, so let me overcome this. And the reason we're doing this is because you cannot make money and excuses at the same time. It's just as simple as that. Now, everyone uses excuses, including myself. All right. And we all have favorites that we use over and over because they have a track record of getting us out of uncomfortable situations. So let's learn to recognize them so we can confront them to prevent them sabotaging our success. And an excuse usually turns out to be something other than the real reason for our shortcomings or unwillingness to commit to something. And that's why I say an excuse is a well-planned lie. And we're just basically professionally trained liars. And we fool ourselves into believing our excuses an actual legitimate reason. So let's say, for example, that you're late to a meeting. And the reason you give for your lateness is Well, I just ran into a lot of traffic. Well, that's not the real reason you didn't make the meeting on time. You were late because you left home without allowing ample time for traffic so that you could still get to work on time in case anything happens. And Grant Cardone said excuses are never the reason for why you did or didn't do something. They're just a revision of the facts that you make up in order to help yourself feel better about what happened or didn't. So excuses are for people who make other people and circumstances, everything and everyone but themselves, responsible for their situation in life. So here's the thing. The first thing to know about excuses is that they never improve your situation. The second thing to know is which ones you use on a regular basis. Now, do any of these ones sound familiar? I don't have the money. I got kids. I don't have kids. I'm married. I'm not married. I have to find balance in my life. I'm overworked. I'm underworked. Too many people work here. We don't have enough people. My manager sucks. He doesn't help me, doesn't leave me alone. He's negative. He's too jacked up. Oh, I don't like reading. I don't have time to study. I don't have time for anything. Oh, our prices are too high and that's why I can't sell. Our prices are too low and that's why I'm not making enough money. Oh, the customer won't call me back. The customer canceled the appointment. People don't tell me the truth. They tell me they don't have the money. The economy is bad. The banks aren't lending. My owner's just cheap. We don't have, we can't. We find, we're struggling to find the right people. No one's motivated. People have bad attitudes. Oh, no one told me. Oh, it's someone else's fault. They keep changing their minds. I'm tired. I need a vacation. The people I work with are losers. I'm depressed. I'm sick. My mom's sick. Traffic is terrible. The competition is giving its products away. I just have bad luck. How many of these excuses have you used? You should go back and circle every statement that you've ever heard come out of your mouth and just ask yourself, will any of those excuses improve your condition? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Now, I like to play a game with myself. It's called My Fault. Okay. And this is a game where I take the blame for everything. Every unfavorable circumstance in my life is my fault. I'm not talking about being harsh or hard on myself because that would just leave me depressed, but it's a game I play that causes me to rise up and take responsibility. And I'm taking responsibility even when something is 100% not my fault and had nothing to do with me. Because the fact is that if the rest of the world is the reason I'm sick, I have to get the rest of the world to go to the doctor for my problems to go away. Okay, and I'll tell you, I don't like those odds. And if it's my fault, the only person who has to change is me. I prefer those odds much better. It's easier to change myself than to try and get everybody else to change, right? Because they might not want to change. So if I learn, if I lent someone money and they promise to pay it back by a certain time and they don't, which is typical, and now I don't have enough to pay my bills, it's my fault, not theirs. The fact that I'm blaming them for failing to keep their promise to me is not going to change the fact that I can't pay my bills right now. If I continue to make it their fault, I have to wait till they come up with the money for my bills to be paid. And if I make it my fault, my bills get paid. The next time I either don't lend the money, or if I do, I put in the extra work to replace the money, so just in case they don't come back to me with the money on time, my bills still get paid, whether they pay me back or not. And the fact that someone else or something else keeps letting you down is not going to improve the conditions of your life or change your luck, right? In fact, if you keep telling yourself that long enough, you'll start to expect being, expect to be let down, while still making excuses for it rather than trying to actually rectify the situation. And you can't control what somebody else does, but you can control what you do. So you have to start understanding the differences between making excuses and providing actual sound reasons for events that happen in your life. You know, when I first got engaged to my first wife, who actually is my only wife, okay, I called one of my longest childhood friends when I got engaged, Jay, okay, to tell him the good news. And Jay was really excited, and he began to tell me how he remembered when, you know, I told him that I liked her years ago when I was a teenager, might have even been before I was a teenager, and how pleased he was for me that I actually made a move, because I didn't for a really, really long time. I mean, he was telling me to move to her when I was like 13, right? And, you know, she was 17. And I was sub 5 feet tall, and she was almost 6 feet, right? And I just didn't have the guts until I was 23. So, you know, Jay jumped in, and he's excited, and he says, "So I'm going to be the best man, yeah?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, sure, yeah." And you know, I'd known Jay longer than I'd been friends with anyone else. So to me, he was the most logical person. I had another friend, Dee, who in terms of skill sets was better suited for the role of the best man. But against my better judgment, I went with Jay because I'd known him the longest. And I thought, you know, Jay won't let me down. I mean, you know, this is too important. And he looked really excited. Look how excited he was for me. So all this went through my mind. And as I said, you know, as I was saying to him, yeah, you can be the best man, right? So I told my other friend D, and he was cool. You know, he said, "Yeah, dude, you know, I understand you've been friends longer. So, you know, that's cool. I'm just happy for you and Tessa. You know, I really am. Congratulations, bro." And, you know, anyway, to cut a long story short, when it came to getting stuff done, showing up for meetings, rehearsals, or whatever it was, Jay, who was so excited, didn't come to one meeting to do with the wedding. Not one. Okay, now a best man is supposed to kind of alleviate stress, not create it. Now, I could have blamed Jay for messing everything up, for being unreliable, for letting me down, but I knew it was my fault. I'm the one who went against my instincts. I've always, you know, although Jay is, you know, a great laugh, he's funny as anything. He's a very kind and compassionate person who really wants the best for everybody. He really does. And I know that he's not malicious at all, right? He's just not as reliable and hands-on as Dee is for that type of thing, who I thought was actually maybe better suited for being the best man. And so Jay might not appreciate me saying that, but I had to take responsibility and make the tough decision to tell Jay, my long-term friend, that our arrangement wasn't working out and that D was the best man for the job. Okay? Pardon the pun. But I didn't put it in those words, but, you know, thankfully I have a gift with words, and, you know, I was able to put it to him in a way which coerced him to believe it was actually his own idea and to his own benefit to make the decision to step down in an amicable fashion. And, you know, the wedding day actually went swimmingly. Now, it's not Jay's fault for letting me down. It's my fault for choosing him, knowing that D was the right person for the role. Okay. Plus, D actually knew my wife better than Jay. So his speech was more balanced in terms of the anecdotes about us both. Okay. Whereas my friend Jay didn't really know that much about Tessa other than what I'd told her, because he hadn't actually really spent any time with her as such, right? So I can tell, you know, D's speech, oh my goodness, it was a scream. It really was. I mean, it really caught me off guard. You know, let's just say I cannot wait until he gets married. And I actually said that as soon as he said his speech, I was up next, and I was like, I had, you know, planned what I was going to say. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Well, I can't wait till you get married." And everyone was laughing because, you know, I was like, I don't know if I'll be the best man or not, but even if I'm not, I am so making a speech. I am going to wax lyrical, literally. I'm a poet, if you didn't know that. So anyway, that's a funny story. But anyway, the point is, if I kept seeing it as Jay's fault, making excuses, I wouldn't have made the tough call. Okay. I would have said, it's him. It's not me. I'm not sure how the big day would have turned out, but because I made it my fault, I didn't have to wait for Jay's habits to change for the situation to improve. I needed somebody who could be committed to the process. If Jay is too busy and can't make it to anything, the fact that I was allowing myself to be let down by not picking someone who could be committed could have meant that I'd have a botched day, and that would have been my fault. And one of the distinct differences between the successful and the unsuccessful is that successful people simply don't make excuses. There are no, I mean, they may make some excuses for other things that they don't want to do that are just not important enough for them. But in terms of making actual excuses towards getting the goals that they want to accomplish, they just don't really make provisions for that, and there are no justifications that will change facts or situations. Okay. So just remember that nothing happens to you. It happens because of you. And if it's to be, it's up to me. Okay. Nothing happens to you. It happens because of you. If it's to be, it's up to me. So when you make excuses or give reasons, whatever you choose to call it, you are making success an option. And success should not be an option. If it's an option, then it's not mandatory. Success should be and is your moral duty and obligation. It's mandatory. Okay? No excuse exists that can or will make you successful. I'm just telling you, engaging in self-pity and excuse making are just signs that someone has an extremely minimal degree of responsibility. Oh, he didn't buy for me because the bank wouldn't make the loan. No, he didn't buy from you because you were unable to secure proper financing for a potential customer. Okay? Don't, whatever excuses someone has in a sale, you just figure out a way to make sure that you eliminate that variable, as long as it's not their wife or something, right? So, if they're making an excuse like I don't have the money or I can't, figure out a way so that they will have the money, right? So, the first statement assumes that there's no responsibility for the event. He didn't buy from me because the bank wouldn't give me the loan. While the other statement, he didn't buy from me because I wasn't able to secure proper financing for the customer, that statement identifies a solution, right? So next time I'm going to make sure I do that, or I can follow up with the customer and say, hey, you said you couldn't afford this. Well, look what I found for you now. Is this better for you? Just eliminate their excuses by taking it away from them. And once you adopt a more advanced sense of responsibility and refuse to make any more excuses, then you can go out and search for a solution. And as an added bonus, you will avoid such situations in the future because you put a provision in place for it. So the qual that you know that that the quality of being rare is what makes something valuable, So anything that is plentiful has very little worth, right? And excuses are one item that people seem to have an almost endless supply of because they're just so plentiful and they have no value because they do not forward your desire to create more success for yourself. They're just worthless uses of your energy. And so, a mindset of success, not being an option, but your duty and obligation and responsibility is rare and it's therefore valuable. So commit to never using excuses for anything. And you'll find as you get over your excuses, so will the people that you attract into your life. I'm just telling you, it's very interesting that people literally provoke out of other people the same excuses which they themselves give in life. It's really interesting. Once you stop having excuses for certain things, people stop giving you those excuses. It's really bizarre, especially like as a salesperson. Now, your team won't give you excuses because you don't have excuses and won't accept them. The same goes for potential clients. You'll find that your closing ratios will actually go through the roof. You can't allow yourself, your team, your family, your clients to use excuses, okay? Refuse, absolutely refuse to participate in a discussion about why something cannot be done. Because as the old saying goes, if it's to be, it's up to me. All right? Okay, so let's get back down to business. We are building habit number two, and we're continuing on automating action for income generation. So let's just do a little recap of what we've been doing thus far, which you should already be very familiar with. So for the last 54 to 63 days, you've been building a permanent hardwired doer's mind pattern for the long term. And then over the last 45 days, you've been developing the final, component of habit one, overriding fear and controlling your emotions, where you've been overriding fear by using the four-step system in 5 minutes. And so for 45 days, you've been doing that. So you're really forming a super thick neural circuit of, habits one and two by this point. And for the last 36 days, you've been asking yourself, what is your outcome? What is your outcome? Okay. And this is really keeping you on track with what you're doing and making sure that you're only working on important things and setting up your day correctly so that that happens. And for the last 18 to 27 days, you've been focused on stopping the collection of information just for the sake of collecting information and only using information that is immediately beneficial to the outcomes that you want in the next 24 hours. You've been asking yourself, is what I'm doing right now going to make me money? Will this have the biggest impact the fastest? And you've been doing this now for 20 to 30 days, and your brain is now seeing that this activity is being demanded of you regularly, and it started to make it more efficient. So you should have noticed that this is starting to happen automatically for you now. And for the last 9 to 18 days, you've been tracking your success. So you've been looking at the good results that you want. And you've been, looking at what happens when you actually take a step, when you're, doing something that you're afraid to do, and then documenting it in a diary to just basically see what's happening when you're actually just overcoming that fear and actually building that strength, celebrating each success and seeing it as significant. And your confidence has been growing, and your belief in your potential will increase. And, as you keep doing this, your success will begin to snowball. So let's begin now by creating a new cash generating habit. Okay. And we're going to practice the next 9 days. So keep doing what you've been doing. All you need to do now is pick a new cash generating habit. So maybe if you were doing, say, joint ventures before, maybe now you might want to start taking a look at PPC, maybe getting somebody else to do it for you, maybe look at taking out some banner ads and maybe reverse engineering. You can go to similarweb.com, and then start to look at what adverts people are using for their businesses, and then, sort of modeling those adverts, seeing, which ones are going to their website and which ones are performing well and things like that. So it could be whatever it is you want to pick something that is going to directly generate cash and drive people to your website. Pick a new one now, one that you've maybe not done before. I'd just start doing it. Pick it up and run with it and just build those results. So that's the only difference, the only thing that we're going to be adding now. So you've already got one cash generating habit going. Now you're going to have two of them. So, we're just sort of stretching the muscle, putting a little bit more strain on that muscle. And, if you're feeling overwhelmed at this point, that's really a good thing. You actually want that because it means that you're growing. Okay? So you just want to look at how you will make certain that this habit becomes automatic, and you should already know how to do that now with all the other things that you've been doing. It's just consistently make a time for you to actually do this. It's imperative. Remember that you start these new habits early in the day when you still have willpower. And if you start to do important things at the same time every day, you get into a routine, and those routines are habits. Okay. So just make sure you're doing that. You know, make sure you're picking a time, a specific time for when you're going to do this. All right. And because this is a new, tangible habit that you can see whether it's been done or not, you can make sure that, you know, you go through the steps that I've been telling you to go through to add something new in your environment, to put a reminder somewhere that you'll see it regularly, and make sure that you actually see it first thing in the morning when you wake up to get you on track. And, you know, make sure you're going to put something so you know what that reminder will be and where you will place it. Either, you know, you can put, you know, a reminder on your phone, whatever it is that you want to do, just pick something so that you'll see it, and promise someone something that you take to give away, whatever it is, and just tell them that they can come and collect that from you, or you can just give it to them. Maybe, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of something, maybe a watch that you really like, give that to that person and let them hold it for you and say, you know what, if I don't do this, you get to keep that watch. Okay. So just do a screenshot. Maybe you could just, you know, like take a picture of your watch, your favorite watch, and give it to them and say, you get to keep this if in fact I do not do this. And then just put a screenshot of you doing that there so that you can actually make sure that it's being done. Okay. So that is that for today. So we will be catching up again in the next few days, and we will see you on session number 9. So see you soon. Bye bye.